As a nurse, Quinlan says she knows the many dangers of cannabis use. The harder drugs, the eatables taken by children, the increase in homelessness, absenteeism in schools, the strain and drain of social service. We didn't have a vote in Illinois of whether we wanted marijuana, which most all states did, but let's let the citizens of Illinois know that we care about our town and we don't want it sold in our town. She said Illinois' cannabis law is the loosest one in the country. Let someone else make their money off marijuana. Keep us proud. We want this town to shine again. Dan Davis said Paxton has already passed it. Urbana's already got a shop running. I don't drink or smoke or use any drugs, Davis said. Why are we sending potential customers to other towns 10 miles in either direction to spend their money? And while they're there, they're spending it at other businesses. You're not going to keep it out of town. That's why we have the shop ran tool first to spend their money here first. The Paxton City Council has approved a 3% tax on cannabis sales if any dispensaries locate in the community. No decision has been made to opt out of allowing sales. If no opt-out decision is made, a municipality must allow a cannabis business. In Urbana, the shop Davis mentioned is NewMed, a medical dispensary that plans to add recreational marijuana. The Urbana City Council has approved a 3% sales tax as well. Sheila Sherman, who is a nurse, said she has seen what cannabis does to people. Why would you want your village to be selling marijuana, Sherman said. We need to really think very hard. Is this something we want to do? Let them go to Paxton. We want the village to be proud of what we do. Recipient of a full face transplant and a bionic eye. Bach said he was born with the bone disease from his grandmother's side, a genetic mutation. He said it has helped to inspire him to help others. I want to help other kids. I want to help correct that and help other kids have life without that kind of roadblock, Bach said. I would like to be able to go into the body and kind of isolate problems of people's disease and hopefully cure it. Bach said the desire to do this work helps to drive him to excel in school. The 17-year-old has a 5.023 grade point average and takes all honors and AP classes. It isn't all scholastics for Bach at school. He is also a member of the RTHS men's choir and plays the French horn and mellophone in the marching band. Other activities include madrigals, scholastic bowl, and torch and laurel National Honor Society. He is a varsity member of the RTHS golf team and a member of student council. Bach said schools he is interested in attending for biomedical engineering are Duke, Purdue, and the University of Illinois. If he opts to go into aeronautical engineering, he might attend Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach, Florida. Bach's mother, Amy, said XLH is a bone disease that causes the body not to absorb calcium, phosphorus, and vitamin D. As a result, those with the disease are prone to stress fractures. At the end of seventh grade, Evan, who was a student at St. John's Lutheran School in Buckley, volunteered to try an experimental drug for people suffering from the disease. He was the first pediatric subject to try the drug at Shriners Hospital. It was a success. He grew 6 inches in 3 months. He now stands 5'1". Before that, he was unable to run, Amy Bach said. Walking was difficult for him. By the end of that year, he joined the track team at St. John's. Bach still has side effects from the disease. He has pain and is predisposed to stress fractures. Some of the bony structures in his chest never grew properly, she said. We can't go back and redo the damage that's already been done. The lasting effects on his skeletal system, Amy Bach said. Bach's sister Darian also has the disease and is in constant pain, Amy said. They have younger cousins who also have the disease. Her pain is excruciating, she said, adding that she is happy for the breakthrough her brother has received. Hopefully he'll take care of his sister when she's older and is not able to walk. Two from area to take honor flight to D.C. from Springfield. Two area residents will take part September 24th in an honor flight trip to Washington, D.C. to honor military veterans. Lyndon Estes of Fisher, an Army veteran of the Korean era, and Chester Culbertson, an Air Force veteran of the Vietnam era, will be among the 92 veterans. On board LLHF Mission No. 58 to Washington, D.C. will be one World War II, 11 Korean War, and 80 Vietnam War veteran era veterans. The veterans represent all branches of military service, 12 Air Force, 51 Army, 8 Marine and 21 Navy veterans. 92 veterans and their guardians will arrive at the airport Tuesday morning at 4:15 a.m., having traveled from the 62 Central and Southern Illinois cities and communities. The veterans will board luxury motor coaches upon arrival at Ronald Reagan National Airport in D.C. Their most important stops will be at the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War memorials, as well as Arlington National Cemetery for the Changing of the Guard ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns. Other stops include the Lincoln Memorial, the National Air and Space Museum, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, the U.S. Navy Plaza, and the U.S. Air Force Memorial. This day of honor is provided at no cost to the veterans. The return to Springfield Airport is planned at 9:30 p.m., and the general public, along with friends and family, are being encouraged to pack the port to welcome home the veterans. Majorities speak out against cannabis sales in Rantoul. Don't allow recreational cannabis sales in Rantoul. That's the majority opinion of residents who spoke on the subject at Tuesday's Village Board study session. 8 of the 11 speakers said the village should not allow the sale of cannabis in town. 2 said it should be allowed, and 1 was neutral, but said many of the comments were outdated. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the Village Board, Mayor Chuck Smith, and village staff are not advocating one way or another on the sales issue. The purpose behind the discussion was to allow the public to speak before the village brings forth any proposal on the cannabis law, Eisenhower said. The village is able to adopt a 3% tax on its sale. Eisenhower said there will be 3 areas of discussion between now and December 31st. Whether to allow cannabis sales or a cultivation facility in town. Whether to allow at least the submittal of proposals for a cannabis dispensary license. And 3rd, adoption of rules and regulations as it relates to cannabis in the community. For example, state statute exempts the upholding of the Illinois Clean Air Act that bars smoking in public places, meaning if there is no action by this body beginning January 1st, people could go into a restaurant or a place of business and smoke cannabis. The village board will have the opportunity to prohibit that if it desires. Eisenhower said the village board won't discuss the cannabis issue until October. He encouraged the public to attend the board's October study session, October 1st, or monthly meeting, October 8th, where the village will provide a great deal more information. Eisenhower said the public can also email him their comments on the cannabis issues. A summation of public comments follows. Gene Wilson said there is already alcohol and drug abuse in town. The sales of legalized marijuana will put an added strain on our schools, Wilson said, adding that every week in the Rantoul Press there are 3 or 4 domestic violence reports. Families argue how the paycheck is being spent, and feeding their addiction is placed ahead of providing for everyday necessities, causing children to suffer, overtaxing schools and police. Wilson said some people might say cannabis users will just go elsewhere to buy. So be it, she said, but we don't have to be the enabler. Thomas Ordahl said he is dead set against the sale of cannabis in Rantoul. Ordahl said it is highly unlikely, if allowed, that Rantoul would see a dispensary in town within a year because it takes half a million dollars to $1 million to put one in. Ordahl's main concern is young people who have easy access to cannabis. He said since Colorado allowed recreational cannabis sales, it has seen an incredible increase in the number of traffic accidents and episodes of violence due to its legalization. Ordahl said it appears Colorado will require 3 times the number of dispensaries above what it has now. It will cause real problems in the schools, he said. We need to educate our young people first to stay away from this stuff. He said he was one of the original EMTs in the community and also frequently saw the incredible drug problems at the University of Illinois. It was a nightmare, he said. Rock said as a substitute teacher he has seen the problems in schools caused by cannabis. He said people say marijuana is good for people with certain medical conditions. The only reason it disables your oxygen perfusion to the cells and messes up your food intake so you don't have any senses, Rock said. Too many parents are not teaching their kids what is good and what is bad. If we don't stop it here, it's going to get worse and worse. Susan Quinlan said she had spent the previous couple of weeks reading about the positives and negatives of cannabis. In Colorado, she said, the only positive is the money. Do you really need to shop Rantoul first and pull off Interstate 57 and buy your marijuana? She said the money is not made off the social user. It's the heavy users, and the heavy users usually go to more heavy stuff. And that's not selling marijuana. Sister Paulette Yerger spoke out against recreational cannabis use. She quoted Kevin Sabat, a co-founder of the nonprofit organization Smart Approaches to Marijuana, who said, "The legal consequences of legalized marijuana are far-reaching and will have devastating impacts on citizens, communities, and youth. It won't bring in the revenue promised while ushering in new costly regulatory burdens, more hospitalizations, increased drug driving incidents, and unregulated, highly potent pot products." "Do you really want that?" Yerger asked. Donald Robinson said what he is hearing from the speakers is that they are not talking about cannabis, but about drugs such as cocaine and meth. "I know people that smoke marijuana," Robinson said. "I never saw them do any of the crazy things people are speaking on. Some people, it helps them because of the injuries they have." "If we're not going to approve marijuana, we should shut down all the drug stores, CVS, Walgreens, also the liquor stores, because all of it causes the same effect." Robinson said, "No one kills anyone because they smoke a joint, but they do because they're drunk or they're on crack. So before people speak on this, they should do more research on the whole marijuana thing, on what it really causes," he said. "It don't affect the kids unless you let the kids smoke marijuana. There are a lot of kids who do, but that's because of the upbringing in their household." He said the onus lies on the parents and others around them. "It's because the parents are not being parents," Robinson said, "and adults seeing it happening and not wanting to say anything to the kids. As a community, if you see someone's child going wrong, you need to speak up. Nobody's doing that." Robinson said there need to be programs for children. "It's not just going to the youth center which helps. Let's help the kids." Christian Hopkins said he is not coming out pro or con on the issue, but he said many of the points of view are outdated, kind of a reefer madness mentality. "If it's approved, it's not going to be bedlam here," Hopkins said. "People aren't going to start doing it a lot more. If you really look at the quote, unquote, gateway drugs, it's not marijuana. It's opiates and childhood trauma. We should probably pay more attention to those two things." Village proposes to build $20 million sports complex. Plans for a multi-million dollar, 60-plus acre artificial turf sports complex to be built on Rantoul's west side were unveiled at this week's Village Board meeting. The plan, which would require Village Board approval, would be paid for from private contributions, sponsorships, donations, and grants, with the bulk of the funding coming from bonds paid for from income generated from the Village's Tax Increment Financing Fund. One estimate placed project price tag at $20 million. If approved, you're creating a Midwest destination location for some very large markets to travel toward a sporting venue like we're proposing, Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower told the board. He projects the complex would spur restaurant, hotel, and retail development along the Interstate 57 corridor. Greater interest would be generated by the sports complex turf fields, which would lure multiple teams due to its no-weather cancellation possibilities. If the complex is approved, site work could begin this fall. Construction take place in 2020, and tournaments begin in the spring of 2021. Among those which the Village has been working on the project, Visit Champaign County has already been in discussion with at least 10 regional and national sports organizations about hosting tournaments in Rantoul in 2021, Eisenhower said. The sports complex would contain numerous fields for baseball, softball, soccer, lacrosse, and rugby, and could host other sports such as ultimate frisbee. The complex would potentially draw traveling teams from a four-hour radius of Rantoul, including Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Louisville. Village officials had originally considered building the complex near Hap Parker Family Aquatic Center, but found that area too small and wouldn't create as much economic development, said Chris Milliken, Village urban planner. "If we're going to propose a sports complex somewhere in the Village of Rantoul, we want to make sure that location is supportive of development," he said. Its development inside a TIF district, south of Walmart, would also be a funding plus. "There is a willingness of the property owner, the Joe Warner Estate, to allow for development. Much of this property has already been platted out for commercial development," Milliken said. Milliken said 27,000 vehicles pass by the area daily, and the project fits into a grander vision of the area. In addition to Walmart, that area includes the Holiday Inn Express and the new Shields Auto facility. Without the sports complex out there, the pace of development has been pretty slow, Milliken said. Eisenhower said Rantoul needs more hotel rooms. Lots of more hotel rooms. There are only 200 rooms locally. The lack of rooms prompted some people attending last month's Half Century of Progress farm show to stay in hotels as far away as Arcola and Gilman, trustee Gary Wilson said. Eisenhower said the traveling sports team business is a large one, and the complex would be designed to draw teams from far away to spark hotel stays. Trustee Terry Workman said he has been traveling all over the country to different sports complexes for the past 8 years to watch his grandchildren play. We have not been anywhere in central Illinois to watch them. He said among his stops have been Louisville, Indianapolis, Chicago, whose facilities were horrible, Nashville, Atlanta, and Kansas City. There's no facilities here in central Illinois that will compare to what we're making, and we have a perfect location. I wish it had been here 8 years ago, Workman said. To me, this is a great opportunity for our community and the economic value of these people knocking on our door before we've even put a shovel in the ground. Eisenhower said he has received feelers from several companies indicating they will develop businesses along the corridor if the complex is built. He said his research behind sports complex and sports tournament organizers found they'd prefer a 4-hour drive market. If you get teams from 15 minutes away, you don't get the overnight stays, Eisenhower said. 4 hours, the family will make the drive and stay overnight. You are creating a Midwest destination location for some very large markets to travel toward a sporting venue like we're proposing. Eisenhower said most national tournaments are held on the East Coast, primarily because this is where the sporting facilities are. The sports complex would greatly benefit neighboring businesses. A Visit Champaign County marketing study found a 60-team youth baseball tournament would generate overnight attendance of 2,534 people, plus another 600 one-day attendees, creating a weekend attendance of more than 3,000 visitors. That relates to direct business sales of $656,000. The tournament would require 1,477 hotel rooms. Eisenhower presented similar figures for softball and soccer tournaments, which on average pull in more people than baseball tournaments. We've already been in conversation with hotel organizations interested in the concept because it would be unique to have hotels directly adjacent to the field itself, Eisenhower said. Said Eisenhower, since the conversation has become more vocal, we are already getting calls from developers. We have already had individuals who said they would look to put a restaurant and retail in this community. They want to know when the board is going to vote on it because they want to be in Director Luke Humphrey's office the next day to choose their location. Rantoul Rec Department Assistant Director Andy Graham said the village has been talking about building a sports complex for years. The village formerly hosted numerous tournaments. That died out, however, when other complexes in the country went to turf fields. Eisenhower said he wants to get the entire community involved and wants local teams to use the facility as well. Trustee Sam Hall said he has done some traveling, too, to follow sports teams. For me, what I envision, the potential economic impact sounds phenomenal, Hall said. But I think of the community impact. You have a facility that our children, our students, can use and develop, and we can come out and cheer and yell at them and not have to travel as much. Hall said visiting families could see Rantoul as a great place to live, which could also benefit local schools. Mayor Chuck Smith said development of the complex was a goal stemming from the Rantoul Tomorrow initiative. It's often been said that the community that dreams big succeeds, and big dreams do happen. He pointed to the Half Century of Progress show that has grown dramatically since it came to Rantoul, and estimated 120,000 to 130,000 people attended the August show. This is a good project, Smith said. We need to be prudent, and we want the community to know we will go through this step by step, and we want public involvement. Trustee Mark Wilkerson asked when the board would know how much the village will need to borrow. Eisenhower said final numbers will be presented at the October 1st board study session, and that he hopes by then to have some commitments from donors, developers, sponsors, and whether grants are available. It will only be new money going into this project, Eisenhower said, so if you're concerned, we're going to be taking local fuel tax money that we would be putting into the streets and putting it into the sports complex. The answer is no. He said because the complex would lie within a TIF district, the bonds would be paid from the incremental value of properties within the district. Hotels, restaurants, and retail constructed in the district would increase the incremental value, which would raise funds within the TIF pool. Annual operations would be offset by field rental fees, sponsorships, concessions, and additional hotel-motel tax money. Humphrey said the village received 14 proposals from design firms, which was shortlisted to 7 companies whose representatives were interviewed by the committee. He said only one, Byrne & Jones, provided a master plan, which it had already completed. They definitely stood out among the group, Humphrey said, citing the company's experience in design and construction of sports complexes, which he called very, very impressive. The firm would undertake the project as a design build, and Eisenhower said the village wants local companies to undertake as much of the work as possible as subcontractors. He said village staff will handle the master plan. Eisenhower said the sports complex would be initially marketed by Ryan Reed of Visit Champaign County, and said Reed, at a trade conference, received contracts for organizations interested in booking at the Rantoul site in 2021. Eisenhower said a village employee would be responsible to market the facility later. Asked by Wilkerson how confident he is that 15 to 20 tournaments could be booked the first year, Humphrey said, "I'm concerned we might have to turn people away, quite honestly. From the research that we've done and people we've talked to, I have no reason to believe we can't get 15 to 20. Eisenhower said the committee has visited other sports complexes and few in the Midwest are equipped with turf fields. Village officials will present the sports complex concept at the September 9th Rantoul Township High School Board meeting and the September 19th Rantoul Park District meeting. Eisenhower said they also want to meet with University of Illinois, Parkland College, and Illinois State University officials. Meetings to take public comments on the proposal are set for 5 p.m. Tuesday, September 17th, and Tuesday, September 24th at the Municipal Building. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Dorothy Shields Lawless, 84, of Gibson City, mother of Foosland and Fisher residents, died Thursday, August 29th at Gibson Area Hospital Annex. Her memorial mass will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 14th at St. Rose Catholic Church in Strawn. A rosary will be said 4 p.m. Friday, followed by visitation until 7 p.m. at Rosenbaum Funeral Home, Gibson City. Memorial tributes may be made to the Gibson Area Hospital, Shriners Children's Hospital, or St. Rose Catholic Church. Online memories and condolences may be made at rosenbaumfh.com. Louise Fruling, 92, of Potomac, died at 9:55 a.m. Saturday, September 7th at Country Health in Gifford. A celebration of her life was held Thursday, September 12th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Flatville. Burial will be in Copman Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Middle Fork United Methodist Church or Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Memories or photos may be posted on her memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Archie H. McAllister, 78, of Rantoul, at 12:10 p.m. Sunday, September 8th, at home, surrounded by family. A funeral will be at 11 a.m. Monday, September 16th, at Maranatha Baptist Church, Rantoul. Burial will be in Elmwood Cemetery, Rantoul. Visitation will be from 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 15th, at Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul. An additional visitation will be held for 1 hour prior to the service at the church. David L. Orwig, 67, of Seymour, father of a Gifford resident, died at 6:22 p.m. Wednesday, September 4th, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday, September 14th, at Faith Baptist Church, Champaign. Burial will be in Locust Grove Cemetery, Philo. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, September 13th, at Morgan Memorial Home, Savoy. Condolences may be offered at morganmemorialhome.com. Lawrence Larry J. Richardson, 67, of Rantoul, died at 7:05 p.m. Tuesday, September 10th, at home. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, September 14th, at Bayer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pell Street, Paxton. Burial will follow in St. Lawrence Cemetery, Penfield. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at the funeral home with a rosary at 7 p.m. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Condolences may be offered at BayerFuneralServices.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll return to news and local sports to finish. From David Porter, Rantoul Press columnist. On this September 11th, our country more divided than ever. There are a lot of other things I'd rather be writing about, but as September 11 approaches, I cannot ignore the memory, now 18 years old, of that infamous day, my generation's Pearl Harbor. I cannot ignore it because we must never forget it. The day terrorists flew two airplanes into the World Trade Center, a third into the Pentagon, and a fourth failed attempt to destroy another American icon, probably the White House or perhaps the U.S. Capitol. My son was in the Marines at the time, and he could see the Pentagon burning from his apartment. But it was 2 days after the attack that he was able to phone home to let us know he was safe. It felt like 2 years. I have long hoped that the anniversary would come when I didn't feel compelled to add my thoughts. Time, it is said, heals all wounds, but this one festers. For a brief time, we mourned as one nation, one people, not Republican or Democrat, not black or white, not straight or gay, not liberal or conservative. Once again, we are a house divided. That's not to suggest a free nation such as ours should be free from dissent, debate, and discordance. Our ability to disagree openly is a hallmark of our democracy, but we have lost the middle ground where tolerance and compromise dine. We have such disdain for each other that we are destroying ourselves. Civil discourse is dead or dying. Where we should be united, we are untied, and the problem is much more than an anagram. Left or right, there is no effort, as far as I can see, to bring the ends together. Plenty of blame, plenty of finger-pointing, plenty of hateful rhetoric. Politically, we can't even stand to be in the same room together. We are a nation at war. At war with the world and at war with each other. We have developed a rigidity within our personal ideologies that refuses to bend. Like a twig on a tree, that which will not bend eventually will break. We are not without hope. The generation behind me is strong. Many of the young adults I know are interested in politics well beyond the meme-driven world of social media. They are thinkers and readers and activists. They understand that complex problems do not have simple solutions. They want a better world than the one handed to them, and they are willing to work to make it happen. They've never known a time when American soldiers were not deployed somewhere. They've grown up with mass shootings, political corruption, widening economic and racial divides. Like the rest of us, they suffer from political fatigue and have become numb to the news. Yet they display a resolve, an understanding that it will be up to them to right this ship. The path to experience is marked by many missteps. I have faith that they will learn from their mistakes and will have the fortitude to push forward. I'm hopeful that their efforts will be driven by respect. Respect for the Constitution. Respect for differing opinions. Respect for those who came before them. And respect for each other. Civics without civility is anarchy. And maybe, hopefully, in another 18 years, 9/11 will be remembered as a terrible stain on our nation's history, and not as a fermenting reminder of the work we've yet to do. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a great day.